2638. E.B. Whitehead thought of the primordial nature of God as a general ordering of the process of the world, the ultimate basis of all induction and assertion of law, a conceptual pretension that functions in the selection of these eternal objects or repeatable patterns that are enacted in the world. God, however, does not create actual entities. He provides them with initial impetus in the form of their subjective aim to self-creation. Even God is the outcome of creativity, the process by which the events of the world are synchronized into new unities. It is the creative, not fully predictable, advance into novelty of the pluralistic process. Note: much of the 1977 exegesis is taken up with pages like these, in which whole encyclopedia entries are copied out by hand. Taken together, they provide a fascinating map of autodidactic study. Dick is led from one thing to the next, not to master a field of study or a philosophical system, but to try to figure out his own experience. The hunger for legitimacy in these passages is striking. No less an authority than Hegel agrees with him, but no more so than the insistence with which he returns again and again to ground the inquiry in his own experience and need to understand. Dick was well aware of the idiosyncratic and unauthorized nature of his intellectual quest, as Vallis in particular shows. The novel piles up sources and citations from Dick's own researches, while posing the question of whether the path of horse lover fat leads to anywhere but the nut house. But what the novel does, what it both intends to do and actually does, is extend an invitation. As Fat's shrink tells him at a low point, "You are the authority." It is a wonderful gift of permission, and the novel offers it in turn to any reader who needs it. Go forth and pursue knowledge. Even if you're totally wrong, you are the authority. And more important, perhaps, you are not alone. P.J. End note. Thus, the arranging which I perceived Zebra accomplishing is precisely what such sophisticated views as Whitehead's would hold to be the actual way God works, in contrast to popular conception, and ratifies, even verifies at least for me subjectively, that indeed, he whom I saw was God. As this fits W's description, theory, view, analysis, insight, etc., and is far superior to any view I myself even knew of or entertained. It was far beyond my education and mental power to impugn intellectually this of God. Yet I saw it, and have spent 3 years explicating it, to find it here in Whitehead and in Hegel. The supra quote regarding Whitehead's view is a stunning, perfect verbal account of what I saw in 374, eclipsing any and all my own attempts to so account. I literally saw what Whitehead holds in a theoretical sense, likewise Hegel. Yes, Phil, you did see God, exactly as described by Whitehead and Hegel. 2642. Leibniz. We are colonies of monads who perceive others, with blurred vision, as materially existing, whereas in reality, only monads' minds exist, God being the highest monad, who harmonizes and integrates the other monads. The concept colonies of monads, being what humans really are, but due to blurred vision, we see bodies. This is much like my own vision of the great organism, with what I called subsections. 2643. E.B. Hegel saw human history as a vast dialectical movement toward the realization of freedom. The reality of history, he held, is spirit, and the story of religion is the process by which spirit, true to its own internal logical character and following the dialectical pattern of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis, the reconciliation of the tension of opposite positions in a new unity that forms the basis of a further tension, i.e., the new synthesis generates its own opposite, comes to full consciousness of itself. Individual religions thus represent stages in a process of evolution, i.e. progressive steps in the unfolding of spirit directed toward the great goal at which all history aims. I have a strong feeling that the spirit active in history is the same one that was, and maybe still is, active in biological evolution. In a very literal sense, evolution has passed over from the area of biological evolution to the evolution of man within his social context, i.e., human history. This theory isn't original with me. Human morphology stays the same, but new and different kinds of men arise over the millennia of human history. In having seen Zebra, I was given a chance to see the teleological entity which directed the evolution up from the unicellular organism of Precambrian times to the human of the Mousterian Age. 2645. Perhaps the condition I was in 374, is more important than the actual content of any act I performed while in that condition. It was what I knew as well as what I did. What I did grew out of what I knew, and what I knew grew out of what I had become. The three, what I did, knew, had become, and by knew, also read, perceived, can't be separated. They blend into one another. I had to become what I became to know and perceive what I knew and perceived. And all these were necessary for me to do what I did, which was the final step. It completed the event process. This is a wholly different way of looking at it, rather than the purely religious. There is a religious element in it, Zebra, and the awe I felt in perceiving Zebra. But great natural biological processes are stressed too. In fact, it seems evident, and a very important point, that my evolutionary leap forward up to a new level of being, hence knowing and perceiving, hence doing, was a response on my part to danger, or at the very least, distress and threat. And that what was set off in me, however done by whatever mechanics achieved, was a superior defense system of which I had previously been unaware. It is like a bird that had never used its wings until one day its nest caught fire. This is a view in which my biological evolutionary achievement is stressed, and external aid is ignored. It views it as intrinsic mechanisms, and does not focus on the divine entity, God, who supplied me with that mechanism. In this view, I am taking all the credit, as if the bird imagined that by some daring ingenuity he grew the wings, but the wings were given to him. Not only that, also the stimulation, suggestion, etc., of how to use them. You have this mechanism. It is now urgently needed. And here is how you use it. Here's what it's for. Here is what you do with it. So speaks the voice of God. Beyond any doubt, my welfare was at stake, both as an individual and as participant, member, in an historic group whose victory was necessary to human evolution acted out in history. We, our group, had to win. I, as part of it, had to win. My trouble, danger, I assess now, was the danger besetting us as an historic group. The wave of the future, the next stage of man, to be grandiose. My fight was not merely an individual fight, but I don't think it was the tax thing. I think it was me as ungeliebter Autor, as not liked author. The I Ching. If a person travels with two others, there will be suspicion, i.e., fellow traveler suspicion on the part of the U.S. authorities. As dissident intellectual political person, I do not take that part, or rather the whole pattern, as they saw it, seriously enough. Kathy's statement of why the police were suspicious of me, which would cover why they hit my house. I know perfectly well who was after me, and, generally speaking, why. 2649. Once more, the vernal equinox and the birth date of Christ approaches. The more understanding I acquire about the experience of 374, the more amazed I am. There are not even claims of experiences such as mine when one realizes what I found myself able to see and understand. Jesus himself said that no man has seen God. but I saw the process deity of history, modulating processes and inhabiting things. How could this have been? What occurs to me now is that I know as certainly as I know anything, can know anything inferentially, that the objects and events around me are being arranged by Him into new unities, that although I can no longer consciously read it, His language, word, fills the universe, the vast single organism, with all its sub-colonies of monads, signaling with colored lights back and forth into total harmony. I could say, why me? Or I could say, why no one else? I guess this revelation is not new. If Hegel and Leibniz and Whitehead and Spinoza and Plato are superimposed, it all can be found in the montage. I don't know how much they saw and how much they inferred. What I saw came by way of revelation, which is to say unaided by my own effort. I could have seen and known none of it, as it is with me now. It is interesting that, as we were saying the other night, Moses wondered, why me? He was halting of speech, he said. I am unable to do anything except what little I have put in my writing. And how much is that? What does that accomplish? But viewed as a source of comfort, solace, and purpose to my life, it is for me intrinsically everything. I have nothing else that I care about. But what might I do, possibly? No one would believe me. Even if I could express it, which I can't, no verbal report could convey it. It has never been done yet. It is ineffable what I experienced. I can say even to a priest, I have seen God and He is like this, and explain about the arranging and the mimicry. I can report that what we see all around us, the phenomenal world, is only real because He transubstantiates it beneath the accidents and directs it all in the dialectic process which Hegel understood so well. I can testify for immanence and panentheism, an evolutionary process carried over from nature to human history. 2650. Even in my sleep, three times I called out, Vater, and Hilfe, and Owe. Note, German, Father, help, oh my. End note. If indeed I have destroyed my life here, I know a dear father lives above the band of stars. Franz Schubert earned a total of $1,500 during his entire life. Was he a failure? I can't hold any woman. Am I a failure? I just want to find... But it is here. I can't see atoms either, but I know they are here. Vater, Hilfe, Owe. But I know, I am preparing for the next world. I am beginning to let go of this one and not grieve or suffer. I know it is all lost, and what I still love, such as music, points me toward the other world. Music, religion, and philosophy. For me now, they are not experienced as merely the best products of this world, but, as in the singing I heard in my dreams, the link with the next. They carry me along and are more beautiful all the time, each and every time more and more part of the next world. I feel it. I first felt it in 64 when I heard Die Winterreise. It comes. It comes nearer and more beautiful all the time. In this letting go of this world and reaching out to the next, I am feeling more and more peace and joy. I am not losing life and that which is beautiful, but moving near it every day. What I really love grows stronger. I saw how God could accomplish any ends He wished by the arranging of object processes. I deduce from this that the world is far better than it appears to us. Just as we can't see Him nor His arranging, it follows that we must lack accurate perception of the great beauty and good which He perpetually produces. Why is this not possible? That if it is not a fact proven to me that, one, He is here and we can't see Him, And two, his arranging takes place all around us, and we can see that. Why there follows? Three, we are blind to that beautiful and good produced by him continually through these unfolding arrangements. For this is the invisible outgrowth of what I know to be invisible. As the Sufis say, we are asleep. Or as I say, we are virtually blind and deaf. Look how Bach or Beethoven sounds to most of us. Beauty is not in the eye of the beholder. It is in reality and must be searched for, found out. And so too, maybe, is the good. Can it be that the good results which he achieves are as concealed from us as beauty is in formal art? The artist does not try to obscure the beauty of what he does. We have to achieve a perception. If I know he is here, and if I know he is good, and if I know he controls becoming for good ends, and I see none of this, not him, not the arranging, not even the ends factually, what they consist of, how then could it be logically possible that I could see the good in those ends? For one thing, he knows what all the potential alternatives would have consisted of and led to. And if I have no perception of that, how under all these circumstances could I possibly perceive the good in what comes about? I can't even see what comes about, since each end, synthesis, is the new thesis against which a further antithesis appears. The becoming never ceases. There are syntheses, but never a true end. And yet I have been shown what Hegel saw, the purpose for us in all this once biological and now historical process, greater human freedom, to produce greater self-actualization or individuation. The monads progressively more and more accurately absorb and reflect back, encompass or understand the organism as a whole. 2652. Suppose I conceive of the monads as receivers and recorders, which to a greater or lesser degree accurately receive and record an impression which is a memory of the image of the all, thus containing thereupon and thereby a microcosm image from which can be retrieved and restored the all. The way a hologram contains a more or less accurate image. The total organism is the only object which is fully real, and by the degree that the individual monad or cell remembers, which involves receiving and recording for later playback, the total organism can be restored, if somehow lost, whatever lost means in this case. Supposing that the total organism is changing continually, say at the flash cut rate, velocity, of the phosphine graphics, how is each of the virtually infinitude of stages to be, each one, made permanent? We know in what way a sequence of stop-action photographs can make permanent each stage of a growing entelechy which it captures. The organism goes on, but the many separate steps are retained. Are the colonies of micromonads supposed to see, receive, and remember, record for later retrieval of each and every growth stage? By means of my 374 vision, or compared with my normal perceptions, superior, more accurate and complete vision, I can, at any future time, in theory, print out everything, which at that time I registered both in terms of perception and cognition, mentation. Are we reels of recording tape? Memory units reflecting back zebra, the total organism? Are we sophisticated percept and record systems that, barring malfunction, can serve later on to re-establish what has now passed on to further stages? In that case, my 374 experience was the end in itself, insofar as I as subsystem am concerned. It is up to some other assembly to, if desired, retrieve back out of me what due to 374 I contain. It is not the responsibility of the memory spool to play back another component, when it is desired, is to do that. To remember seems to entail or produce something more than we tend to realize, e.g., when an LP record remembers the performance of a Schumann song cycle, sung by the late Fritz Wunderlich. In a certain very real true sense, it doesn't just remember that Wunderlich sang that song cycle, but in point of fact restores to perfection as limit that voice and that music. Perhaps in contemplating the phenomenon of anamnesis, we fail to grasp the full significance. If indeed I am a perceiving, remembering, and playback spool, and on me, i.e. in me, is long-term memory of the first advent, and due to an external cue, signal, I do play that section back, what do we have? Not just a transcript in another lesser dimension, like a typed transcript, i.e. the words only, say of a famous speech, but so to speak, the speech given and the person giving it, an event, not a dead object, fossil impression. After all, the disinhibited long-term DNA memories, their reactivation, was one of the most astonishing parts of 374. It alone is staggering and important. The accurate observer contains the event he observes. We call this memory. Through him, its actual, not feigned, restoration is possible. The Jews theorize that the resurrection of the dead is accomplished through God's memory of them. Suppose, via our long-term DNA-coded memory, we ourselves are units of God's, the total organism's, memory system. Suppose, for some of us at least, that, called, I think, witnessing, is our prime purpose. We are parts of His memory. 2654. What I must realize is that it is a bourgeois prejudice to suppose that for something to have worth, there must be a practical application. The ancient Greeks knew that pure philosophical understanding for its own sake was, even just in terms of the quest, the highest value or activity of a man. Homo sapiens, man who knows. However, look what this three-year ongoing quest to understand, learn, and know has done for me. Joy, awe, peace, tranquility, a sense of purpose, of personal worth, and above all, meaning, for my awareness of God. March 1977. Folder 27. 27.3. In reading Lem on Ubik, I see this. In my worldview, head, there is no appreciation or recognition of causality as normally understood. And I recall that dilemma when I was 19 and found I simply could literally not see causality, while all other people do. This explains my 10 theories on the November 19th break-in. 27.4. In reading the screenplay of North by Northwest, I all at once realize that 374 resolves, annihilates my paranoia in an extraordinary and amazing way. It, the imagined ultimate conspiracy and danger event, either took place or events happened which resembled what I imagined sufficiently to cause me to think it had arrived. The event was an actual fulfillment of my imagined script master scene. From a psychological standpoint, I was overwhelmed by the contents of my unconscious dictating this script and having feared and imagined this master scene. I acted out, i.e., I acted in response to this real or imaginary conspiracy, danger. All right, all this looks psychotic, but due to my response, I have become entirely freed of paranoid feelings, fears, beliefs, delusions, expectations, completely. That's been 3 whole years. In Jungian terms, a metabolic toxin, mescaline-like, was secreted in my brain and it destroyed my persecutory complex. The maladaptive biological reaction system didn't become schizophrenic, but worked. The complex was destroyed. The fossil structure was obliterated and change, growth, resumed in my psyche. Finally. A stronger, newer, healthier personality was able to form in place of the old, one free of the paranoid dynamism. It turned out to be a psychotic delusion on my part that the FBI was after me. The brief total collapse into overt schizophrenia cured me because I was able to reach into my collective unconscious for new potentialities and establish a broader, non-delusional personality on a more viable basis. So for months, this took 11 months to complete, I lived in the magic world of the collective unconscious and its contents. All of the above is true. When I read North by Northwest, I suddenly could recall the paranoid world I had been inhabiting prior to my phone call to the Bureau on 3/20/74. I used to live in the world of this screenplay. That is why I was constantly afraid, especially at night. I feared they would break in and get me. What I did was incredible. I turned toward the group I believed was persecuting me for help, i.e., I converted my fear and hate and suspicion into love, so to speak. I loved them. They ceased to be alien, hostile strangers, and became, in my mind, needed, supportive, father figure friends.